Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time in what seems like a while, we have some big news in the Houston sports scene. Your Houston Rockets have clinched the NBA Southwest Division title. The astute among you may be quick to point out that division titles in the NBA could not mean less, and you would be correct. However, we've got great stuff coming up in terms of sporting events that could not mean more, from the Final Four to Rice University's beloved Beer Bike. If you know, you know. If you don't, stay tuned. We've got you covered with an exclusive interview and all the info that you need. Chloe, roll the music. Let's talk some ball.
This is K-True on 96.1 KTRU LP Houston and streaming live on your phone and on the web at ktru.org. Back to you, Ian.
Good morning, Houston. I'm Ian Kleppinger, and welcome back again to Against the Grain on KTRU 96.1 FM, the Rice University student-run radio show, where we break down everything going on in the world of Rice athletics and the broader sports scene from across the city of Houston. You can listen to us every Saturday, bright and early at 8 a.m. right here on KTRU 96.1 FM, or stream all of our episodes anytime by searching for KTRU Sports on iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Amazon Music. To stay in the loop, go ahead and follow us at ktru.sports on Instagram and at ktrusports on TikTok. If you have a question for us, feel free to DM us on either of those platforms or drop a note to ktrusports@gmail.com. That's ktrusports@gmail.com, all lowercase. We want to answer your burning questions on the air, so give us a shout in whatever way you feel inclined to do so. Throughout the next hour, you'll be hearing from a whole team of student hosts. I'll be getting us started with our first segment, Around the Hedges. So crack open a cold one and put your feet up for the show. Here at Rice University, it is common to say the greater city of Houston is beyond the hedges. So to start off each episode, we go around the hedges for a quick review of the biggest sports moments from both Rice and the city of Houston over the course of the past week. So new sport. I don't think we've ever talked about track and field on our show before, but Rice University's track and field hosted the 42nd annual Victor Lopez Classic last weekend. That was at the Wendell D. Lay track on our beloved Rice University campus. The men's team and women's team both had great performances. Andrew Murray won the men's steeplechase. Gus Gannon came in second. Ben Tijerinas, who we shouted out, I believe, a couple times during our cross-country coverage in the fall, won the 10K with a time of 30 minutes, 27 seconds, and 27 seconds. Yep, that's the ninth fastest all-time by a Rice male runner. Juan Marias won the discus. He threw it 56.47 meters, which is fifth all-time at Rice. And Elliot Metcalf won the 1500 meter. On the women's side, we had even more success. Daphne Meyer won the 5K. Morgan Fay won the shot put. Elena Simeons won the pole vault. Alice Taylor won the high jump. Mikayla van der Westhuizen won the javelin. And Julia Johannes Dottier won the 100-meter hurdles with a 13.7-second time. Great stuff all around. Both teams are back in action this weekend at the Tom Tellez Invite at the University of Houston, just down I-45. Let's kick it over to the baseball diamond, where David Pierce continues his very young tenure as Rice University head coach. The Owls were tragically swept by American powerhouse, the East Carolina Pirates, during what could be described as a J.D. McCraster class on Saturday. He threw 7 2/3 with 8 Ks and allowed no runs, and Rice went on to lose in 11 innings, dropping the series and eventually giving up the sweep. They rebounded nicely, beating the Sam Houston State Bearcats on Tuesday 9-1 before losing by 15 to the Vaqueros of UTRGV on Wednesday. The Owls are back in action this weekend in New Orleans, taking on the Tulane Green Wave. They moved to 7-24 on the year. Another sport that we haven't talked about a ton is professional golf. The Houston Open happened just this past week. Minwoo Lee won with a score of minus 20 over the course of the multi-day tournament. Gary Woodland and Scotty Scheffler tied for second, just one stroke behind at 19 under par. The best golfers in the world are playing their best golf in H-Town at a crucial time of year in the golf calendar. The course conditions were electric, and that is going to transition us into next weekend, ending on Sunday 13th. The Masters. So crack open another cold one and watch some golf with the boys. We are going to preview the Masters a little bit, I believe, later in our show. So great for Houston to get some awesome pro golf action and some course records there from Scheffler, Woodland, and Minwoo Lee. The Houston Rockets, who were aforementioned, clinched their division title with their win over the Andrew Fox Utah Jazz by a score of 143-105 on Wednesday night. No, that doesn't mean anything, but it is symbolic of the fact that the Rockets are on a tear. They've won 13 of their last 15 with only losses by 5 to the Nuggets and by 6 on the road at the Luka LeBron Lakers. They are 50-27 on the year and second in the Western Conference. They are 3.5 games ahead of the third-place Lakers, who are also tied with the Nuggets. They have 5 games left in the regular season, and it is a little bit of a gauntlet. They've got OKC, Golden State, the Clippers, the Lakers, and the Nuggets in that order. They are back in action after listening this for the first time on Sunday night at Golden State. You can watch that on NBA TV at 7:30 if you need some late night hoops to cap off your electric beer bike weekend. We are now, speaking of beer bike, going to kick it to an exclusive interview with friend of the show and hands and beer bike legend Benjamin Montag. I think Garrett is going to take it away and introduce our guest a little more.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to have Ben on. Before we get to his interview, I want to just set the scene on what beer bike is, if you're not familiar with it and everything that goes on beer bike weekend. So if you're a Houston native, you probably know Rice for one thing, and that's academics, and you probably do not know Rice much for sports. Well, Beer Bike is basically the equivalent of Rice University's Super Bowl when it comes to the students. We don't go to a lot of football games, we don't go to a lot of basketball games, we don't go to a lot of baseball games, but every single Rice University undergraduate student will be participating in Beer Bike 100%. Every year, the first weekend of April on Saturday, there's a bike race between all the residential colleges, basically just our equivalent of dorms. For the men's bike race, they do a mile around the track. There's chugging involved. It's an all-day event. You wake up at 4 a.m. and start drinking right away as soon as possible. I mean, as soon as possible. You want to get it flowing inside of you, really. and it's just a party after that. We have the biggest water balloon fight in the continental United States. That is a fact. We have a color war, and then everyone makes the little hike over right in past the football stadium to the beer bike track, where we watch our residential colleges compete for glory, for an eternal legacy, and for so much more. And today, we have the privilege of having one of the favorite teams this year's, Hanson's, maybe best biker, top three biker. He's up there. We have Benjamin Montag. This is his second year biking. He's a senior at Hanson, majoring in sport management. All-around great guy, great looking, too. If you were in the studio here today, you would just be admiring him. Ben, how are we doing?
I'm doing great, Garrett. Thank you guys for having me today.
It's a pleasure. Here. All right. Well, let's get right into Beer Bike and just try to answer some questions for people that have no idea really what this is. So you are a senior this year. This is only your second year biking. Why did you want to join the bike team after having just been a spectator for your first 2 years at Rice?
Yeah, so I think we have a great biking culture at Hanson. It's something that's kind of been passed down for several years at this point, where we had a lot of the juniors and seniors getting the younger freshmen involved, and that was something where for the first 2 years I was pretty resistant to it, and eventually a lot of my classmates, Peter Reynolds specifically, finally convinced me to join the team. And there are a lot of different ways to be involved in beer bike. There's the biking itself, but there's also you can be part of the pit crew, you can be part of the chug team. In my sophomore year, I was on the pit crew team as well. And so that was really where I first got involved with beer bike. And rather than being the one throwing the biker or catching the biker as they come into the pit, I wanted to actually be on the bike. Mm-hmm. And so that's really what led to me joining the team. And I've loved it. I think we have a great team. And as you said, I'm really looking forward to it this year.
Yeah. Peter tends to wear people down 100%.
I could only say no so many times.
That's funny. Okay. Well, so You've been a pit crew member once, you've been a spectator once, and you've been a biker once. What is your favorite beer bike memory in each of those years?
Ooh. Leading up to actual beer bike day, Hanson has a mock bike event every year. And that's just kind of a way for everyone to kind of it builds up hype around the event, but it's also just an actual practice race, and you get the exact same nerves, the exact same energy as the day of. We had our mock bike last Wednesday. We also had one last year as well. We competed against Martell and Sid Richardson, two other residential colleges.
Ben, why don't you tell people what happened at our mock bike this year when we were going up against Sid and Martell? What was the result of that?
Hanson had a very strong showing.
That's correct.
I was very proud of our team. We did a great job. Everybody kind of did exactly what we had planned for them to do. And we set out a strategy kind of the week before, in the days leading up to it, and everybody did exactly what we wanted. So it was great.
Yeah. That's awesome. Okay, let's get into the nitty-gritty a little bit. So more beer bike details just for people who don't know again. So the way the race is structured for the men's race, there are 8 bikers, 8 chuggers, and then pit crew will catch bikers as they're coming in and push them off to get them accelerating as they're going out. The race starts off with a chug. It's 24 ounces of water, and then you can launch your biker, and that happens 8 times over the course of a race. So this is, like, a big deal, and it's not like, you know, Rice Kids don't have the best reputation, I would say, for our athleticism per se, but when it comes to the bikers, these are elite athletes, like a lot of them on the caliber of D1 college athletes, people playing sports here at Rice. Could you run us through some of what your like training regimen is that goes into prepping for beer bike day and all of the rides you've been on over the course of the past few months, and then just all the stuff you've done in the fall too, the half Ironman, that sort of stuff?
Yeah, so as you kind of alluded to, my training regimen's a little bit different, but for most people leading up to the race, so a 1 mile bike race is incredibly unusual. Most races mm-hmm. are 30, 40 miles for most bikers. And so the actual preparation for beer bike is really uncommon and doesn't like it will not be replicated anywhere else. Mm-hmm. So we all kind of improvise and do our own thing. But what's most common is you'll do a lot of interval training, a lot of like 2 or 3 minute spurts as hard as you can. I'd say for the bikers who've been biking for longer, typically if you can get kind of one longer ride in a week, like 70, 80 miles, there's some really good biking routes around Houston. And
that was 70 to 80 miles, you said?
70, 80 miles, yeah. So Rice has a great, there's a cycling club, and we'll meet every Saturday morning at 8 and get back around 1. And you're biking the whole time. But it's a lot of fun. It's kind of created a really great culture. And it's, again, there's no really right way to do it. So mm-hmm. we're all kind of sharing ideas and seeing what would be best. And then I guess for myself, kind of mixing in running and swimming as cross training, that really helps as well.
For sure. Yeah. And okay, just to get a perspective. So how long you do a mile for the beer bike race? How long does that take y'all usually? What is like a good finish time considered for beer bike?
Yeah. So a good finish time is, I'd say anything below 2 minutes, 15 seconds is really impressive. That means someone really put in work. That's really impressive for them. Our best athletes, student Matthew Hong out of Brown, just biked a 1 minute, 56 second segment,
so over 30 miles an hour.
He was going over 30 the entire ride. Which going around the curves can be really scary. And he did it in pretty hard wind too. So Matthew's an incredible biker. There's another guy at Hanson, Suraj Chandramouli, who's our goat. He's most definitely our goat. He probably bikes a 158, 157, but yeah, promising for better this year. So
that's unbelievable. And it's really interesting too. You mentioned it, like going around the curve. So usually like you said, bike races are like marathons, not a sprint. Mm-hmm. Like this is very atypical. And if it is a sprint, it's in an indoor arena where they have banked curves. So you can like keep that speed all the way around. We do not have banked curves. The beer bike track is flat all the way around. So when you're like flying around it that fast, you also have to worry about not crashing and staying the course, because the track is not forgiving in the slightest, as some of our good friends know. No. Shout out TJ Lee.
Yeah, TJ did not have the greatest finish last year.
Yeah. Okay. And then, so we talked a little bit about like your training. What goes into the strategy for a race day? So we have 8 different bikers. We can set the order any way we want it. Mm-hmm. We can change the chugging order any way we want it. What goes into that? Are we trying to like match up? We're like, hey, we want this biker to be matched up with the brown biker who's going first, so he can draft and keep time. Is that something y'all are thinking about going into race day?
Yeah, definitely. So there's a lot of scouting that goes into it. We know all the riders, especially on some of the more competitive teams like Brown or Jones. We're mm-hmm. really focused on them. And what typically happens in biking, especially in a race like this, is that when you are biking directly behind a biker, it's called drafting.
Yeah.
And when you're drafting, you actually save 40% of your total output. And so if someone's putting out 600 watts of output, they are really working hard, but the person behind them can be going just as fast for 60% of that. Mm-hmm. And so what's really important is that if you can get one of your, not necessarily slower guys, but someone who's 5 to 10 seconds slower than, so if someone bikes a 215 and someone bikes a 205, typically by drafting, the 215 can be that much faster and stick with the 205. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the strategy is seeing how can you get your kind of medium riders to line up with their best riders, and how can you get your best riders to drop their slow riders.
Interesting.
So that's, you don't really want to be giving a free ride to anyone around the track. That's kind of the big thing, is if they start drafting you, like, you slow down, or you look for opportunities to kind of expose any of their weaknesses.
How big does the gap need to be in order to lose someone? Like, you're about, what, like 203-ish range, yeah, right? What is, like, the fastest a person could be going and you're still going to beat them out? They won't be able to draft you and keep up.
So typically what would happen, if anybody's a 212, I'd say they could probably stick with me.
Uh-huh.
What would happen is, going into a curve, you kind of have a certain amount of energy. So going into a curve, you know, like, I'm going to try to make a move here. And they obviously don't know what you're doing until oftentimes it's too late. Mm-hmm. And so the actual drafting section is only about two bike widths long, mm-hmm, or bike lengths long. And so if, to the degree you can get them out of that drafting zone, then you can take off and run your own race.
Interesting. Yeah. I see. So it's just a matter of picking your spot of when I'm going to break out from them.
Exactly.
And they're not going to be able to follow anymore. Okay, I like it. And so this year, can you give us a little preview? We know, obviously, our college, Hanson, shout out, is a contender this year. Jones is a perennial contender. Outside of those two, is there anyone we should watch out for? And then how do you think it's going to shake out between Hanson and Jones,
yeah,
for men's?
I'd say there's three other teams, Will Rice, Martell, and Brown, that have, mm-hmm, all done a really good job this year. Duncan specifically, and Brown, their bike captains have been phenomenal and really built up their cultures, which is really cool to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Martell has a lot of seniors as well who I've trained with in the past, and they're great guys. And Will Rice is always a strong team. In terms of Hanson and Jones, it really is kind of fun. This week's been a lot of kind of, what information are we willing to share? What are,
yeah,
like, do we want to hide? And it's, at the end of the day, it's a fun race. Like, part of what's great about this, and especially in a second year versus the first year, is you typically know everybody who you're biking against. So, mm-hmm, it's no longer, oh, you're just the really fast biker. It's, no, I've went on those, I mean, it's a 70-mile ride on Saturday morning. It's like, I'm going to have to talk to you at some point. Whether I like you or not, I'm still talking to you.
Yeah, that's another really interesting part of it, of, like, the biking community at Hanson, well, or at Rice, is obviously, like, large because of Beer Bike, but you know everyone, and then all of a sudden, at this one day a year for Beer Bike, y'all are not friends that day.
Exactly. But even, you want to see your friends do well. Like,
yeah.
Like, even Matthew, I told him the other day, if he could run a 154, nothing would make me happier.
Yeah.
Like, you want to see these guys do well. You train with them all year. Yes, obviously I want Hanson to win. I would love nothing more than watch Jones lose. But
wouldn't we all?
Yes. but I really am looking forward to it. And it's fun to cheer everybody else on as we go.
Yeah. Very exciting. And then, okay, let's get into, how much do you think chugging really contributes to it? Because obviously biking is the biggest component of the race by far. The chugging, it should only be like 4, 5, 6 seconds. Do you think it really is a difference maker in the overall race, or is it something that's just kind of a sideway for people to participate in?
I think most definitely. I think chugging matters a lot more than people realize. Because what happens is, so if I go out there and I bike a 206 that day and someone else bikes a 210, yeah, I went that much faster than them, but if our chugs and our transition aren't on time, then how much faster I bike really just doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something where I know some teams put a lot of effort into this, ourselves included, where it's, how do you get the timing when, because the biker can't leave the pit until the chugger's finished.
Yeah.
And so if you can get a more seamless transition where kind of the biker's already moving through the pit, then the chug finishes, then they take off, that can be a lot better than just a more broken up chug. Okay, now we're going to start to move them. And that there's the 4 seconds right there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, chugging matters a lot more than people realize. And, again, it's also where a lot of the penalties occur as well.
For sure, yeah. And that's another gripe some people have about race days, or just beer bike in general, is the penalty structure and not finding out for a couple of weeks who the official winner is. Is that frustrating, yeah, for you as a biker?
It's a little – I think I would we've joked, I think I'd rather win on the track than find out in the Thresher 2 weeks later that I actually didn't win.
Yeah.
Like, I'll ride that high the rest of the day. When I find out 3 weeks later on a random Wednesday that I didn't win, it'll be okay. I had my day of fame, so I'll be happy.
That's right. All right, before we let you go, Ben, and thank you so much for your time, could you give us a quick prediction? Who's going to be winning the men's and women's races this year? It won't be held against you. This episode will air after Beer Bike is finished. Not to worry.
It doesn't matter when the episode airs. Hanson's going to win every year.
That's right. That's right. Good answer. Well, Ben, thank you so much for your time. It was really cool learning a little bit more about Beer Bike. If any Rice students end up listening to this, I hope you are listening to it after a Hanson W and a Ben Montauk masterclass. Hanson is coming fast this year, and we're coming for Jones's crown. Let's kick it off now. Oh, game time.
Welcome back, all you iPad kids. It's time to go outside and play and leave your parents in the living room because we have an adult version of our game this week. The boys may or may not have had a few drinks to get us ready for Beer Bike, and we are going to play our Wheel of Stuff, which we have renamed to Wheel of Drunk. So I think we're gonna do a 2v2 with the wheel, so each of our contestants can attempt as a pair basically to name things from the category that the wheel lands on. So we're gonna have Garrett and David going up against Andrew and Brandon. Chat, how many drinks deep are we?
I don't drink. I'm a good boy. I stay
sober.
You
are a good boy.
All right, shut up. We're three drinks in, but they've been three drinks that went down very quickly. So I'm chilling though. David,
I'm a clean like 1.5.
All right, Brandon, Andrew, how are we looking on the side of the table?
That side's
4.
Looking
I'm
bad.
Ready.
Okay, low key like 5.
Hey.
Oh, okay.
A good we're man. Win. Yeah, me and David are about to fry y'all.
No, bro.
If there were no drinks involved, we would cook y'all. Drinks involved, oh my God. My powers go up. Y'all's powers go down. This is over.
All right, I fear we must spin the wheel. So let's without further ado, let's get us a category. The wheel is a spinning. Everyone's favorite sound effect.
Okay.
After the cracking of drinks.
Ooh, okay, I like this one. This is a good one. All right, NCAA tournament winning coaches.
Oh. Ooh. Just for it's basketball.
Basketball.
Yeah. Men's and women's?
Men's and women's?
Sure.
Okay.
I
producer
love
Chloe made the wheel. So we're going to go men's and women's tournament winning basketball coaches.
Women.
NCAA Division 1.
Who's that one dude?
No, you cannot.
No, you, can, you
talk
cannot.
About it first.
Okay.
You can't talk about it?
Objectively,
we
illegal.
Can name one.
All right. Brandon and Andrew.
Yeah. Yeah.
David
yeah.
and Garrett, can I get two?
I can get two.
We can get two.
We could probably get
we
could
do three.
Oh, we can get four.
Okay.
5.
We can do 6.
Okay.
All right, you guys can go.
We can so get 6. Come on.
You cannot get
all right, wait, wait.
Six.
Just right, quick. Hold on, hold on.
Wait, we definitely could have got 6.
Bro. Easy,
no.
Come on.
We got
what are we doing?
I don't know.
I'll start off. You got to finish them.
No, let me start because you're a closer.
Okay.
Okay, hold on. Okay, so they have 30 seconds to name 6 coaches that have won the men's or women's NCAA Division 1 basketball tournament. 3, 2, 1, go.
Coach K. Jay Wright, Gino Auriemma, whatever that is, the UConn mm-hmm. women's coach. That's 3. David?
Dan Hurley, Rick Pitino.
Oh.
And?
John Calipari. 6.
Dang.
Boom!
Oh, my God.
Wow, that was easy.
What's Coach K's full name?
That was Mike Krzyzewski, buddy. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
My God.
You don't know Duke like I do, buddy. You don't know the insides of Duke like
all
I
right,
do.
That's
what the?
One on the board for David and Garrett. Let's spin the wheel again, see if Andrew and Brandon can redeem themselves.
Let's see.
Please.
Okay. Hello?
Ooh, okay. We landed on the category that producer Chloe was hoping for. We have rice, beer bike, bikers, and chuggers.
Oh
my
easy.
God.
Nah.
We'll bid first.
1.
7.
8.
9.
10.
11.
12.
13.
14.
15.
This is
about
where we should stop. This is where we should stop.
No, because he's going to know the bikers and he's going to know the chuggers. Are you serious right now?
Brandon knows what?
No, bro, we didn't say that shit.
All right, y'all got it. 15. Y'all got it.
Don't swear on air.
Y'all got it. 15. Go ahead.
15? Okay, wait. Can we pre
No.
All right, you have 30 seconds. Name 15 bikers and chuggers for this year's Rice Beer Bike. We can fact check you. I have the roster. 3, 2, 1, go.
Suraj, Ben Montag, Peter Reynolds, John Israel, Ben Handworker, Shoham, You step in for a second. I'll think. That's 6.
Zarek Liu, Tyler Doe, Tony Castillo, Zane Kamani, myself, Garrett Lowe.
That's right. Nathan is another one for Hanson.
That's 12.
Matthew from Brown.
13.
Long. Mitchell Harms from Jones.
Alex Sansom.
Oh,
come on!
Did he get it off?
No, he didn't.
Official Chloe, what do we think?
Bang, buzzer beater, bro. Buzzer beater.
We all heard that title.
Buzzer beater, bro. Buzzer beater, bro. I got that off.
I like that.
That was.
Producer Chloe knows
that was. That was the 15th one, wasn't it?
Best of five.
Best of five? All right, little bro. It's
2-0. There's a 2-0 lead now for David and Garrett.
Oh, my God, bro. Oh, my God. They haven't even got the ball yet.
Is that the clutchest moment in the history of Against the Grain? Brain rot.
When it airs, everyone's gonna know that you didn't get it all.
I don't know how I didn't say my beautiful roommate first, bro. Alex Sansom, a goat.
You don't know ball. No, you're a bum.
I'm the ultimate ball knower. Where's no one knows ball right, like me. Oh, are you biking, Ian? I thought you were.
I am on the roster, so.
But you're not.
I'm not biking.
Okay. I should have shouted you out.
I'm like an alternate. Oh. I'm washed. I was decent last year.
Oh, I should have done.
Yeah.
Oh, we did not name it. Oh. Bro.
Abigail.
Bro. We could have gone 24, bro.
We could have named every woman.
Shout out women.
Yeah.
No one supports women like us.
All right, we're spinning the wheel a third time.
Please. Okay.
Oh. Drinking games.
Oh, this is my kind of category. Wait,
yo,
what?
Brandon. One.
4.
5.
6.
I feel like this is where it gets tricky. You're just gonna be making stuff up. 6?
I mean, I know we can do 4.
Yes, we're 7, bro.
And I think you got it.
Can we get what 7? That mean? All right.
Hurry up.
No. All right. All right.
Y'all got 7 or 6.
We got 6. Right,
David and Brandon.
Let me start this.
Wait, no. Okay. Sorry. My bad. David and Garrett need 6 drinking games. They have 30 seconds. 3, 2, 1.
Rage cage, beer pong, beer ball, beer die, flip cup.
King's cup.
6. Wow. That was on y'all's
heads. I've never
heard
of like 4.
What is beer cup, bro?
Beer cup's the only one I haven't heard
beer,
of.
What is beer cup?
What is.
Wait,
what
I said beer cup?
Yeah. You gotta explain.
Wait, timer's going again.
Yeah.
18 seconds.
Wait.
Lights are too bright, Garrett. Come on.
Oh, did I say beer ball?
Yes.
Yeah, you said beer ball and beer cup.
Oh, baseball. Yeah.
Baseball
is real.
We're
that's
not
where
naming
you,
sports,
you,
but we're
no,
naming
no,
games.
No. You line up. There's 4 cups on each side in a row. If you make it in the first cup, it's a single, and so on. There's bases on the side. You can steal. It's a whole game.
Oh, I have seen this book.
Yeah.
I think he's right.
Woke drinking.
Go, buddy, that's a sweep. That's never a sweep. That. I said it before the show. I'm going to say it again. We dominated.
We have a few announcements for you, and then we are back to talking about the greatest tournament in sports for the, I don't know what, episode in a row. March Madness, bro. I'm getting hate. Okay, World Cup. I forgot about the World Cup. That's my bad. Chloe, take it away. Save me from my misery here.
All right. I don't know if you guys saw this week, but there was a blood drive. So give blood, give life. Every blood donation can save up to 3 lives, and you have the chance to make a difference this year at the Spring Blood Drive hosted by Rice EMS and the Gulf Coast Regional Blood Center. On Tuesday, April 1st, this is kind of old, from noon to 6 p.m. at the O'Connor Building, 5th floor. To sign up, please visit Rice University EMS or Facebook or Rice EMS on Instagram to find the link to sign up. These happen twice a year. Be on the lookout. Julian, what do you got for us?
I know y'all have missed me this episode, but here we go. Another announcement for you guys. Phone rings, door chimes, in comes Weiss Tabletops Theater's production of Company. Join us April 17th, 18th, and 19th at 8 p.m. in Weiss Commons to watch Rice's rendition of the beloved musical Company with music and lyrics by GOAT Stephen Sondheim and book by George Firth. The story follows the lonely bachelor Bobby. I will be playing Bobby, by the way, and his married friends as he reflects on relationships, love, friendship, and what it means to be alive on his 35th birthday. Go to @WeissTabletopTheater on Instagram for more information and fun previews. Tickets are free for Rice students and $5 for general admission. Once again, that's April 17th, 18th, and 19th at 8 p.m. in Weiss Commons. That's what it's really about. Back to you, Chloe.
Everyone should go out and support and see Julian in the show. So,
should we have a group outing to watch Julian's show?
Wait, what day is
this? Okay. 17th, 18th, and 19th.
I will be there no matter what.
Yeah, no matter what.
All right, now let's transition into our March Madness segment as we head into the Final Four.
All right, welcome back, everyone. We are talking about the Final Four and March Madness. I'm here with Andrew. Brandon, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, Brandon is with us. Garrett is MIA. He'll be joining us shortly, allegedly. all right, let's get started. How do we want to start this off? I think one thing we got to continue talking about now that we have a Final Four of 4-1 seeds. What do we make of the outrageous chalk? The kids are in the driveway. It's gotten to March Madness. What do we do with this? What is our takeaway from 4-1 seeds in the Final Four for the first time since 2008, which is also the last time the Final Four was in San Antonio?
I think it's boring, low-key.
I think you're wrong. I'm going to be honest. All season, these have been the best four teams. Like, let's be serious. Duke, Auburn, Florida, Houston. Like, they've been the best four. They're way ahead of the rest. In terms of like whatever metric you want to put them against, these are the dogs, and I think it's gonna be a great couple games. Two semifinals in the championship. It's the most talented teams. It's the best coached teams, and I think we're in for a real treat with this Final Four.
I think that's fair, but honestly, like with the fact that there hasn't been much like variety of this tournament, like I feel like has made the overall like tournament experience kind of boring. Like, not as many upsets as there normally is, and just like, you know, obviously the best teams are going to win, but just seeing like top 4-1 seeds just go and win it, like, meh.
I think that's a fair argument. Like, the first two weekends we're used to seeing like at least 1, 2, 3, or 4 seed lose. All 1, 2, 3, 4 seeds won their first round matchups this year. But I think when it comes down to like the Final Four, like, this is what you want. As like a college basketball fan, we have the four best teams in the Final Four 100%, and we're going to get two amazing Final Four matchups with like all blue bloods, basically. Like, that's very exciting to me as a fan.
All right, real quick, do we think this trend will continue, or do we think that we're going to see the March upset magic that we know and love come back in future years, in the near future?
I think we'll see like some of it come back, but I think as a whole, like, the bigger programs basically like gained back the disadvantage they had when, you know, these like 12 and like up seeds would, a lot of the players would be there 3-4 years, and they would build that like connection and like bond where they know how to play together, to where it's now, you know, like the players are there for 1 year and then they leave just because they go and chase a bag.
Yeah, I think there's two parts to this. I think the like mid-majors are going to struggle. That's going to be a trend that continues for the future as far as how easy it is to transfer in the portal these days and record-setting numbers for the portal. Basically, every year it opens on top of the NIL money that the power schools can offer. But at the same time, I don't think we're going to be seeing like 4-1 seeds in the Final Four again consistently. Like, to me, this is a major outlier season from that perspective, because we just happen to have four all-time great teams happening all at once in the same season with Duke, Auburn, Florida, Houston. I mean, these four are all top 10 in single season net rating for college basketball. That's unreal.
That's outrageous. Yeah, it all happened in 1 year.
It's insane that that has happened in the same year. So I don't think like 4-1 seeds is going to be something that happens more frequently now. But I think struggles in the first weekend for mid-majors are definitely going to continue, because the incentive for players to stay is not as high like before, where it was more so just NBA draft exposure and that sort of thing. But now it's, you could leave your mid-major school, go to a Power 5 conference, and be making triple the amount of money you were making before. Like, it's going to be tough, I think, for mid-majors to contend like they could before.
I think that's a fair assessment. We are a little pressed for time because of how many times we spun the wheel. So let's get quick into the matchups. The first one is going to be Houston and Duke. I actually think they're the later tip. I don't remember off the top of my head. They're the 7:30. Central? They're the 7:30 tip in a time zone of your choosing. Houston has the number one defense in the country. Duke has the number one offense in the country. That's obviously going to make for a great matchup. Do we have thoughts one way or the other about how this game will go down?
I mean, I've been the Duke representative on this program all year. I'm a Duke Glazer. I've made it known. I love me some Duke Blue Devils. And I, as much as I want to say Duke is going to win this easily, I think this is a tough matchup for them. Houston's defense is just undeniably amazing. They're the number one defense in the country, and they have shown it in March Madness. They've had the hardest route, I think, to the Final Four. We talked about it on the show a couple weeks ago. Playing Gonzaga in round two was just a ridiculous matchup. That's the number eight overall team in KenPom. And as a one seed, drawing a team like that in round two is just absurd. Then you play Purdue in the Sweet 16, who's number 15 in the nation in KenPom, and Tennessee, who's number five in the nation in KenPom. Like, Houston has been battle tested on their route to the Final Four. And I think their defense does present a lot of challenges for Duke. And it's probably the best, like, possible team to slow down, like, all these elite ball handlers for Duke, all the options that they have offensively. Like, I think this is going to be a really good game. Obviously, I'm still taking Duke because while I think the Houston defense has a chance at slowing the Duke offense down, we can't ignore the fact that Duke is number one in offense, but also number four in defense. So I think they're going to make it very hard for Houston to score, and they just don't have as many options as Duke does on the offensive end. So I'll go with the Duke Blue Devils, but I'm interested to see what y'all have to say.
Yeah, I think Duke is just such a deep team. Like, we saw when they played Alabama, Cooper Flagg was like, it wasn't his best game, if we're being serious. He wasn't great, and yet still Duke blew out Alabama. And I think, like, Houston, despite how great their defense is, they're going to have a hard time, like, stopping every option on this Duke offense. Like, Cooper Flagg can score. Con Knipple can score. He can set up Malawach. Just, like,
Con
lob
Knipple
threat is insane.
Awesome in that elite game. He was
just
unbelievable.
They're so deep. Like, they have eight guys that can really just play their tails off the entire game. And I don't know, for me, despite how good Houston's defense is and how good, like, their guards are at shooting, I feel like offensively they're just gonna have a hard time keeping up with what this Duke team can do.
Yeah. Brando?
You know, they say defense wins championships, but that clearly has not been the case for Houston.
Houston's biggest hater back at it.
And it's gonna continue this year. They're not winning a championship.
Wow. Is this bold, a unanimous Duke take by the K-True crew right here?
I mean, Duke is so good. Like, let's be so for real. Like,
I know,
Cooper Flagg has the chance to have, like, one of the greatest seasons ever. Like, if he wins it for a one and done, like, let's be so for real. Like, best player in the country and to win a national championship, like, you're up there with, like, you know, Carmelo Anthony, AD. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I think
there's not many guys who are up in that category of being the number one option on the college championship winning team and also being
the best player in the
pick
country.
And
yeah,
who's going to be the actual number one pick. Like, that is a very small group of people we're talking about.
I think Duke is just so good. I think if Houston gets a big lead, it might be, you know, hard for Duke to come back, but I don't think that's going to happen.
All right, let's quick make the case for Houston to win. How do we see? I know we're all Duke believers here. I picked Duke in my bracket, but I heard somewhere, I think it was on a podcast actually, someone said that any possible, like, combination of outcomes in this Final Four was, like, feasible and believable. And I think that's very much
for
it
sure.
It definitely is.
And so we got to, like, what are Houston's keys? If Houston is going to pull off what we're considering an upset, and I'm sure is an upset against the spread, what is that going to look like real quick?
I think they have to drag them, like, in the deep waters, like, really slow the game down. Like, it has to be, like, basically, like, a standstill, like, offensively, and just, like, really drag them in the deep waters and make Duke uncomfortable. I think that's really the only path towards victory for Houston.
If they're going to do that, they have to hit the three ball, too. Like,
yeah.
Sharp, Cryer, Milos Uzan, like, they're going to have to be hitting at their season rates of, like, 40% from three, because if you're not on offensively versus this Duke team, it's going to get ugly really fast. And I think Houston are a closer bet than the 4-0 sweep that we think is going to happen. I think in reality it's probably more like a 3-1, 2-2, pretty even game, but it is going to be hard for them.
Yeah, to me, I think it's you send everyone you have at Flagg and Knipple and try to slow them down and make Proctor and Sion James beat you. Those are more one-dimensional scorers, guys who can't do as much as Flagg and Knipple. If they don't have a great shooting night, I could see Houston coming out of this with a win.
I also do want to throw out there that last year these teams met in the tournament in the Sweet 16, and the four-seeded Blue Devils beat the one-seeded Houston Cougars by 3 points, 54-51. So I think a few of us probably remember that game. So if that's indicative of the style we're going to see on Saturday night, then maybe it will be a little bit more in Houston's wheelhouse to at least keep it close. But we will see. Let's go to the left side of the bracket, and what is the earlier tip-off? An SEC matchup between the Auburn Tigers and the Florida Gators. Who do we like on this side of the bracket?
Give me the Gators, bro. I mean, Auburn is obviously a great team. Like, there's a reason they were the number one overall seed in this tournament. But to me, they have looked very vulnerable, arguably the most vulnerable of any one seed so far. I mean, we talked about Houston had a tough route, but even in Houston's win over Gonzaga, which was a close game, they were in control the entire time. They were obviously in control the entire time against Tennessee. I mean, they smacked them, and they looked clearly better than Purdue. I just think this Auburn team did not look great against was there Elite Eight matchup? Was that
Michigan State.
Yeah, I mean, Michigan State just had an awful shooting night, and that was still a really close game. I think Auburn is just vulnerable to Florida's depth and all the things they can throw at them.
No, I would agree with that. I think Auburn's going to win this game. I think it's going to be a closer game than the first time, you know, Auburn lost to the Gators, but, like, the Gators have just looked so good.
I'm going to take the opposite point of view here. I think, for me, Florida against UConn definitely looks susceptible. They were down. They were down against Texas Tech as well, and they've kind of been riding some Walter Clayton Jr., some big-time shots. Like, they've been needing a lot of stuff to go their way in order to come back in these games. I think Jani Broome is the National Player of the Year over Cooper Flagg for me personally, and I think behind him, Auburn have four guards that are really good. They can all shoot. If Baker Mazar is on, Tahad Pettifer's on, like, Auburn are really tough to stop. And I think in this matchup, they're a little bit deeper than Florida. I think they have more guys that can take over the game. And I'm going to keep going with my Tigers.
Do we make anything of the seemingly, like, daily Jani Broome injury? Yes, no, he's hurt, he isn't hurt.
From everything I see, he's, like, 100% now. I mean, okay. that's what he's been saying.
He did, like, come back in that game with the last, like, 2 minutes, even though it looked like Auburn was, like, clearly going to win the game. That he wouldn't have been out there if he wasn't good to go, okay. I don't think. That's at least my perception of it.
I think that's fair. Do we make anything of the fact that Florida, even though their games have been struggles, like, from a scoreboard perspective a little bit, have, you know, done it time in and time out against what are undeniably good basketball teams?
I mean, Florida's a really good team, but I think at this point, as I said, like, you're really riding the hot hand of Clayton Jr., like, in the clutch, trying to hit, honestly, like, ridiculous shots to get you back in the game. And he could definitely, like, very well do it again against Auburn if they go down, but I think I'm going to take Auburn's, I guess, consistency in this tournament over his hot streak right now.
I think that is a fair assessment, and I'm a little worried for the Gators in my bracket. I could see it working out, but I could also see it not. If you don't recall, Florida won the only regular season matchup between these two teams, 90-81, so probably some hot hands running up the score in that one. That game was played in... Both games played at Auburn, I believe, on February 8th, so not too long ago. That's going to do it for our March Madness breakdown. We're kicking it now to predictions, I believe. We've got a whole slew of things we're going to run through. We're actually going to start off by predicting the Final Four. So let's go around. Let's make our picks. Let's get everyone back in here who wasn't just on this segment and give you a quick run through. Who do we got in Houston versus Duke? Garrett, you can start it off if you want.
LJ Cryer. Washing machine and dryer, Cougars in the fryer, don't matter. Duke in five. I got the Blue Devils.
I'm going to be the contrarian here. I've been riding Houston the whole time. Give me the Cougars.
I love Duke. I love Cooper Flagg. Give me them.
I couldn't have said it better myself, Jacob.
I'll just continue saying it. Best player on the best team. Give me Cooper Flagg and Duke.
Just because Garrett's Huzz is from Duke doesn't mean he's wrong. I'm also taking the Blue Devils.
You know what? Houston, we have a problem. And that problem is Cooper Flagg and Duke. Give me Duke.
I will also take the Blue Devils. Let's go to the other Final Four game. SEC matchup, Auburn and Florida. Garrett.
Your analysis makes me second guess this, but I'm going to stick with the Gators here.
Let's go Florida.
Jani Broome about to get swept.
Chomp, chomp, give me the Gators.
I had Florida and Duke in my chip matchup, so I will take Florida.
I've had Auburn this whole time, and I'm number one in the K-True Bracket Challenge for a reason. Auburn's winning this game.
I'm literally number one on percentage, bro.
Bro, you're not in the bracket group. We talked about this last week.
It's by percentage. I'm number one, okay?
I love Tim Tebow. Give me the Gators.
I am going to go against my bracket here. I think if I could change it, I would. I'm going to ride with Auburn. I think we're headed now to the Masters. Mm-hmm. So who do we have winning the Masters next weekend, the weekend of the 13th?
I've never claimed to know golf. I know very little, but I'll go with the Texas native, the obvious pick. Give me Scottie Scheffler.
Best golfer in the country playing. Got to be Scheffler.
Not going to lie, I only knew about Tiger Woods before this, so I had to do a little bit of research. And then I found out he's not playing, so I guess Scottie Scheffler.
I'll take Scottie.
I could talk for like 2 hours about golf. Give me Scottie Scheffler.
Just because Trump put a 24% reciprocal tariff on Japan doesn't mean I'm taxing the Japanese. Give me Hideki Matsuyama in this Masters.
I love Scottie Scheffler to death. Like, he's so good, but like, everyone's picking him, so that's no fun. So give me Ludwig.
I will take internet sensation Bryson DeChambeau as one of the few names I recognized and one of the highest odds to win on the first website that came up on Google. Last but not least, we are going to predict the winners of, is this men's beer bike? Or are we doing, it just says beer bike.
We can do both.
We can do both. All right, so everyone's going to pick a men's and a women's beer bike winner. Specify which is which. Garrett, floor is yours.
Andrew Fox, you deserve a raise for that quip. That was elite. I'm going to stay true to my roots. Give me Hansen and Hansen.
Ben Montag talking all that got me thinking Hansen might have a shot here, so I'm going to go Hansen men's. I'm going to go Jones women.
I think I'm going to bounce off that idea, but if it's a beer run, I'm giving it to Martel.
Why don't you bounce on it, Jacob? Hansen sweep.
It's a great Friday today, clearly. I'll take Hansen to sweep.
For women's, give me Hansen. Shout out Owee sister Abigail. For men's, Mitchell Scott's thighs could crush my head like a watermelon. Give me Jones.
Just give me Jones to sweep.
I'm going to take the Jones men and the Hansen women. I think that is arguably mercifully going to do it for us this weekend. Thank you, everyone, for coming out to what has a slight after dark vibe to on this edition of Against the Grain. You can listen to us every Saturday bright and early at 8 a.m. Lord knows we'll be up at 8 a.m. tomorrow right here at KTRU 96.1 FM. You can stream all of our episodes anytime by searching for KTRU Sports on iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Amazon Music. To stay in the loop, go ahead and follow us at KTRU.Sports on Instagram, at KTRU Sports on TikTok. DM us, send us an email, ktrusports@gmail.com, all lowercase. If there's anything that you want us to discuss, we are still on our hands and knees begging for socials interaction and something to discuss on the show. Get plastered tomorrow, but do it safely. Have a great time, everyone on campus, with what is arguably the greatest day on campus of
beer
the year. Beer bike. And, yeah, all the bikers, chuggers, stay safe. Everyone, good luck. It's a great weekend.
Yeah.